As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
High in the air, Brito back at the wall, adios, pelota!
That's the type of manager that I'd like to be, which is the same every day. They know what they're going to get. They're going to get energy. They're going to get accountability. They're going to get structure, and they're going to get support. And I'm going to bring those things to the dugout in the clubhouse regularly.
It takes hard work, and it takes humility, taking one step forward at a time, making one good baseball move after another. And I really feel like that's how we're going to get where we hope and intend to go.
You're listening to Bags and Brisby on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 162 of the Bags and Brisby Podcast. It's the end of the regular season, Andy. It is episode 162, but that's actually the number of home runs hit by the 2010 Giants.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
And that was a team that could win with the home run, at least the way that they sort of built that roster toward the end with Pat Burrell, with Uribe, with Cody Ross, especially when a guy named Roy Halladay was on the mound. That team definitely had a little bit of thump.
Yeah, and I push back when people say, oh, the Giants were all pitching no offense teams for a couple different reasons. And the first one is, yeah, they could kind of bop in 2010. In 2012, they couldn't hit home runs as much, but they were a good offensive team. So I think they won the World Series those three times with strong offensive teams. The pitching got the press, but I think they did it with offense too.
And how will they do it this year? How will the Giants win the World Series in the year of our Lord, 2021?
I think it's still going to be the Padres. I see the Padres running the table. I don't know. We're talking now on Friday, and the Giants cooled off a little bit. I mean, if you had told me 11 days ago that the Giants would win 8 out of their next 10, hurrah, pop the champagne, because that sounds outstanding. But when you get there and it's a big winning streak followed by a two-game losing streak, all of a sudden you start to think, oh, is this a flawed team? What's going wrong?
Yeah, I think I use the word hypochondriac in my story, and I think that's kind of, you know, why do I have a mole here? Clearly, I'm about to die. You know, that's kind of the way that Giants fans, I think, are conditioned to thinking about this season, when all the projections had them winning, you know, 77, 76 games, and they're, you know, they won 95 and they still have 15 to play. So I think that you're always looking for a reason to think that the ride is over, and sort of conditioned to think that way. But you know, they've lost two in a row before. It's just so much of a feeling of dread to have the Dodgers right there, you know, not giving any ground. They're only a game back. You know, the Giants would go off on a streak, like you said, 8 of 10. That could normally seal up a division in most years, not this year. And I think that there is this thought, maybe that's conscious or subconscious, which is, hey, if the Dodgers do pass up the Giants in the standings, then it's out of their control. It's out of their destiny. They have no head-to-head games left. And we thought that was a good thing, but, you know, it maybe isn't a good thing if they fall behind him. So, you know, the pressure is still on the Giants to sort of continue to be the pace car here, because they definitely don't want to have to try to chase the Dodgers down at the end.
Yeah, it's like that saying, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. It's if all you're expecting is the the other shoe to drop, like everything looks like the floor. Like it just every time you look up and the Giants lose one game, even it's like, ah, they can't do that. Like they cannot lose a game. Stop losing. You're like, you just cannot lose any more games. Run the table. And that's not realistic. It's just, I think it's heightened by the fact that the Dodgers aren't just like a garden variety good team. They're not just okay. They are one of the best collection of talents. And I don't, like, ever, baseball talents ever, one of the best collections of baseball talents ever. And I hate to keep like pushing that point, but it's legitimate. This is like the team that is chasing the Giants right now is as formidable as any opponent any team has ever had in the divisional era, in the pre-divisional era. Like, this is it. So, yeah, you're going to freak out a little bit with a two-game losing streak.
Yeah, you know, if you try to sink the three ball in the corner pocket and you hit just a little bit of the rail and it bounces out, you realize that it's going to be the Dodgers' turn and they're going to run the table. I mean, they're going to sink every ball and not give you a chance to get another turn. I mean, that's they're just that good. And, you know, it's not like they have an easy schedule the rest of the way. They have three games left with the Padres, who will be motivated. You hope by that point they're still going to be right in the thick of things and motivated in the second to last series of the season. They're starting a series in Cincinnati, which is a tough place to play. Their road record is not quite as convincing as the Giants' road record. So and you know they still, even though they have Clayton Kershaw back, you know they're still dealing with some deficiencies in their rotation as well, that they've certainly dealt with without missing a beat, but. You know, they certainly have their challenges and they'll be facing some tough opponents. So, but I think it's up to the Giants to do what they've done all year, which is, you know, focus forward on the team in front of them. And that's a pretty good Atlanta Braves team coming in with, and a little bit of a wrinkle is that they rained out, their last game. So they pushed their, pitchers forward. And it means that the Giants pretty much get the 1-2-3 in Atlanta's rotation. So they'll have their work cut out for them too.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that the Dodgers have an easy schedule coming up because they do go on the road. They're going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati does have something to play for. They have a lot to play for. They will be a tough matchup this weekend for the Dodgers. And then after that, they do that thing where they go to Colorado and you don't want to write the Rockies off. I know the Giants just swept the Rockies at Coors Field and the Rockies didn't look especially good there. But if I'm a Dodgers fan, first off, I step on my own foot a lot, but no, but if I'm a Dodgers fan, I don't look at that series and go, we're going to take this series. You know, that is a series that would fill me with dread. And so you got Cincinnati, Colorado, then they go to Arizona. All right, they can just win those three games. But then after that, they have the Padres. Even if that's at Dodger Stadium, even if they handled them last time at Dodger Stadium, the Padres should have something to play for. They are still, as we've seen, not to be taken lightly. The Brewers, you know, they might be more concerned about the postseason and stuff like that, but they're still the Brewers. It's not like they're going to all of a sudden play the back end of their AAA roster. They will still be playing a lot of people off on their very talented 26-man roster. So, I don't know. It's not easy for them. It's just somewhat, the Giants can't assume that there's going to be help down the way.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole of how they should line up their pitching, how they should think about a potential division tiebreak game. Do they throw all their resources into that? We still have 15 games to go, so I kind of feel like maybe it would be good if we just get another week off the calendar and then take stock and see where things are at. I mean, it's fun to look down the line and try to figure out, okay, is it going to be Weber Gausman in the wild card game, or do you save your pitchers if you're in a division tiebreak game, or what do you do? I think those are all all going to be fascinating questions if the Giants are confronted with them. And I think maybe in about another week or so, we probably would have a better idea of just what some of those questions will look like.
It's funny that as of right now, the wild card opponent for whomever doesn't win the NL West would be the Cardinals. I can't think of a team that should freak the Giants out more, that should freak Giants fans out more. Not the team necessarily, but the fans who love their narratives. That's a team that has Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. And full stop, like, they've won against the Giants this year. That doesn't help. But that is motivation enough. Like, just getting out of the Cardinals' way and letting someone else deal with them at first. I think that is the goal right now. It's just let's get the hell away from the Cardinals.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is find whichever recording studio Barry Zito is in right now and then just pull him out of there and put him on the mound, hand him a glove and say, go get him. You know, that clearly that's the response.
See, that's the thing, though. It's like, I think that there has built a little bit of karmic nonsense has built up and the universe is in imbalance because after 1987, the Giants fans had their hearts broken. But then there was Kenny Lofton and then there was Marco Scudero and then there was Travis Ishikawa. And it feels like there's an imbalance. And I don't want the Giants to test that imbalance. I don't want the Giants to prove that we're living in a simulation and that we're all, you know, going to get our comeuppance at one point. It just it seems unwise.
It is true when you look at the Cardinal Devil magic, which is a known quantity. It is a proven thing that exists in the paranormal and in the real world. Whatever the Giants have cast some sort of spell to be immune from it. They're the one team that's been immune to Cardinal Devil magic. And, you know, obviously the Giants fans have gotten to watch a lot of Cardinal Devil magic happen to the Dodgers in the postseason, which I'm sure they were very taking glee in. But yeah, you're right. They're a team that can throw Adam Wainwright at you. And he's, as you know, he just knows what to do in October. He's a guy who's coming off a great month. I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball for the last 6 weeks or so. So, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel like part of me is like, yeah, you should fear the Cardinals. The other part of me is, hey, if the Giants win the division, what better team to sick at the Dodgers in a wild card game than the Cardinals? I mean, especially if you can get Kershaw to start the game and somehow get Matt Adams back on the team, then, you know, you're all set.
Oh, that's a deep cut. Oh, that ouch. No, I think at this point, it's really rude to just write the Giants off because of a two-game losing streak and the Dodgers are charging. I'm going to go on record here, and this is being recorded. I still think the Giants are good. Like, I still think they can win more games than they lose from here to the end of the season. And that's just what they have to worry about is just playing the kind of baseball that they know. And everyone forgets that the 9-game winning streak started after one of the lower points of the season. The Giants were reeling a little bit. They were, I think, two out of their last seven games they had won. So it was like... it's been worse, and they came out of that bounding away with 9 straight wins.
Yeah, I mean, very clearly what happened was that they lost to the Dodgers and lost their hold on first place. I mean, we saw the MLB Twitter feed came up with that the Dodgers own the West with Mookie Betts, I think, basically exploding into a shower of sparks. And yeah, you were like, okay, well, this is it. This is when the correction happens. They finally... are tied for first place after being up for, you know, months and months and months. And then, you know, what happened? They ended up winning 9 straight after that, including a bullpen game over Walker Buehler to start that run. So, and you know, there have been times I think you can look at areas underneath the hood of this team and think, oh gosh, boy, Kevin Gausman just has not had it lately. He's not pitching like a number one or even a number three for a good month and a half. But even though he lost against the Padres on Thursday, he pitched really well. He had great stuff. He's trending in the right direction. There are times you've wondered about, oh gosh, is the offense hitting a little bit of a funk here? They're missing some pieces. They're getting pieces back. They'll have Donovan Solano back soon. And they just did something they hadn't done since, you know, basically 1920 something or other when they scored 6 runs in 9 straight games. And that streak did end Thursday, but they hit the ball all around the ballpark and had a lot of great at-bats against the Padres while scoring 4 runs. So I think the offense is not something to worry about. The bullpen, especially now you don't have any bullpen games scheduled against the Braves. I think that we've demonstrated the kind of value that they have in their bullpen. So that's probably not something to really worry about. So I don't look at any area of this team right now and think, oh, they're teetering. They're really grinding. They're in trouble. They're not playing poorly. They lost two games, and I don't think they necessarily played that bad in those games. And now they'll have to just, you know, probably pick right back up and see if they can smack the Braves pitchers around a little bit this weekend.
So let me ask you a question. Do you take most of the blame for the Giants allowing 9 runs on Wednesday, or do you take all of the blame?
I would like to point out that I'm not the only one who wrote rosy things about the bullpen.
No,
I'm not.
We're both idiots.
You are also a co-idiot. Yeah, this is the co-idiot podcast. So, however, you set me up for it because you even pre-called it. You're like, this article's so great. Don't get mad at Bags. And what happens? The exact thing you said happens. And so you preconditioned our audience to hate me. So thank you.
Well, listen, the article was very good. I still think everything in it applies. I just know that when I write anything good about the bullpen, it's just a guarantee that that day is going to be the day that they're going to mess the bed. But the article still applies. It's still good. We're just having fun here. And look, the bullpen is a strength. This is one of the strengths that the Giants have this season, one of the reasons they're probably going to win 100 plus games, is that bullpen. And it is going to get stretched thin in those bullpen games. And sometimes you're going to have a day where you have a couple different relievers who just don't have it. And those are going to be the ugly days. But in general, once you get like a normal rhythm and you have your starter going 5, 6, maybe even 7, the bullpen's probably going to be fine. And I went looking, like when I wrote mine, my idea was I was going to present this. God, the Giants are really, really running their bullpen into the ground more than most contenders. And I went in with that preconception and I found, no, they're not. Like, they've thrown fewer pitches than their peers, and it's probably a good thing. So I think the bullpen will continue to be a strength.
Yeah, I would agree. And there's still things that they can do. I do think that they can use Tyler Rogers as a multi-inning reliever, and I do think that they would do that in the postseason. But I'm very surprised that they've been disciplined to the point of not doing it up until now, but it's still something that they could do, and they could do it because they've been very, very good about managing workloads and kind of finding markers that are objective measures to see if someone is fatigued. They're doing a great job of it, both on the position player side and the pitching side. You could do it two ways, right? You could do it the conventional way, which we kind of see the Padres doing a little bit, which is, we need a starter. We don't have enough starters. Let's go get a starter. Hey, here's Vince Velasquez. He's free. Let's grab him. Oh, here's Jake Arrieta. He's mostly free. Let's grab him. And you could grab a starting pitcher just because you need to have someone who's a quote-unquote starting pitcher. But the innings they may give you, especially in bulk, just may not be as efficient, as effective, as valuable as the innings that you could cobble together from, you know, relievers that you have. And I think that's where we see a big difference is, oh, we need to cover ourselves with a starting pitcher. Let's think conventionally about this versus let's really think about this in very specific terms. Okay, where can we derive the most value? Which innings can we throw that are going to give us the best probability to win and the best probability of run prevention from inning to inning? And so they've been a little more surgical about it by doing it through the bullpen. And I don't know if having this number of bullpen games in a short period of time has caught up with people a little bit, and maybe it's caught up with a few of those relievers in Wednesday's loss when they lost 9-6. It's possible, but you know, the fact that they have Alex Wood back, or they plan to have him back on Saturday, and he's someone who, you know, I think they can hope will give them, you know, maybe 4 innings, maybe he's 5 if he's efficient. That could really help them to, you know, kind of be able to parse out that workload without having to shuffle people back and forth all the time. And it could get them on a good road to go into their next road trip, which is going to be a tough one. San Diego, obviously, we know the Padres are tough. And then at Coors, which they swept at, but they were the first team all year to do that. So, you know, they still have Trevor Story. They still have a lot of good players there that they didn't trade away. So I think it's going to be important to keep that bullpen from getting exhausted.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS. You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
It really puts into focus, like, especially with Johnny Cueto being out, how important Alex Wood has been to this team. I mean, it's, you look at the surface stats and he's got an ERA just over 4. That's not that exciting, but he's been limiting base runners. He's been keeping the ball in the park. The Giants generally win when he's out there. He gives them, he's not pitching into the 8th inning, but he's giving them some kind of length on a regular basis. And that has helped the bullpen rest just enough. Getting Alex Wood back, I think is a huge component to the end of the season, and having Wood around for the postseason should be important too. He is a kind of a forgotten pitcher, but he's been very important to the 2021 Giants.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, he's someone who, he's just different, right? He's not an at bat that's comfortable because he's so unconventional. The way he sort of comes around his body and slings the ball, and you know, he's got postseason experience too, which not a lot of people on this pitching staff have. So I think that we can't minimize the importance of that, particularly if Johnny Cueto's out, because he also would be one of those few guys who have that experience. Logan Webb doesn't. Kevin Gausman really doesn't very much. Go down the line. So. I think it's going to be really important to have him back for whatever he can provide. I don't think we should expect him to throw, you know, 6+ innings in his first start back, because all he had was one simulated game, basically. But, you know, for other financial reasons, we know that he's motivated to try to get back out there and make as many starts as he can down the stretch, because he's got some incentives that are going to be triggered with two more starts or two more outings, I should say, in which he retires 10 batters. Clearly, I think that there's a lot of mutual motivation to get Alex Wood back out there as quickly as possible.
Because as of now, it sounds like Johnny Cueto is not that far away, possibly. Like, he's throwing, but can the Giants count on him to take starts in the postseason? Like, what's the plan with Cueto? Are they still hoping? Because it seems like there's been a little bit of a yo-yo back and forth with, don't really expect him back this year. Or, he's throwing now. You know, he's looking okay. Should the Giants expect anything from Cueto?
I think probably not. In terms of what they should expect, gosh, he just started playing catch again. He clearly was very frustrated when he went out there in his last start and his arm wasn't responding the way that he hoped it would. And, they've been very cagey about what exactly is the extent of his sort of elbow issue. And he's someone who is also pitching, you know, to try to show that he can be healthy. He wants to sign somewhere next year and continue his career. I think it's very important to him to continue to put up numbers and compile. I know he's very, very proud of where he stands as he's moved up the list of pitchers from the Dominican in terms of starts and wins and strikeouts and all those things. So I think he wants to compete. He wants to keep going. And, for him to end the year hurt is going to really reduce, I think, his options as a free agent. So I'm sure he would love to get back on the mound again. And if he's someone who can show that he can get people out, he's a guy who's done well on the big stage. And I think that the Giants will probably welcome the opportunity to put him back on that stage. But they have to think that he's going to be healthy and effective. And we're just taking the first baby steps to building him back up. And if there's it's hard for me to think that there's enough time to do that. But, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how he responds.
Because with the postseason, generally with the built-in off days, a team really needs a 4-man rotation. That's been in the last couple decades, like a four-man rotation can get you through an entire postseason. And when you had the Giants with five healthy starters in a perfect world, you had Gausman, DeSclafani, Logan Webb as the givens, and then you could have Cueto as that fourth starter, and that would allow the Giants and Gabe Kapler to play around with Alex Wood. He has experience in a relief, a leverage relief role, and that could be the guy who could come in for a couple of innings here, a couple of innings there. Without Cueto, it's you're relying on Wood. Wood is now your starter. Do the Giants just ignore that tempting role to have that Maeda guy, that have that Urias that the Dodgers had last year? Or are they going to try and shoehorn someone like Quintana, maybe Sammy Long? Would they want still someone to fill that bulk innings relief role if they get to the postseason? Or, well, I think they're going to go.
Yeah, right. Let's not forget, the Giants are a postseason team. Woohoo! They sprayed each other with alcohol and everything. I think Ron Wotus got about two cases dumped on him. Yeah, which is the best way to use light beer, by the way, is to just pour it out. Really, it is. They're doing a service for everyone, for you and for me. You're right. It's such a big advantage to have an Urias that you can shift to the back end of a game, or even a Bumgarner, even though that was, you know, not necessarily the way they ran the whole postseason in 2014. I don't know. I'm not sure if the Giants are going to have that level of depth. I'm not sure if they think that Jose Quintana is someone who would make a postseason roster. And that's kind of the tricky thing is, you know, you can make roster moves from one day to the next during the season, and you're only really constrained by when you can bring guys back. And that's why Jay Jackson has, I think, probably been optioned about 8,000 times this season. But you can't do that between games 3 and 4 of a postseason series. But then also you've got more days off. So, they may, who knows? I mean, they may go with 3 starters and try to run a bullpen game if they get in a best-of-5. But, I mean, obviously they got to get there first.
Yeah, and I will point out that since August, when Zach Littell came back to the bullpen, he's pitched 21 innings. He struck out 25, walked just 5 with a 1.69 ERA. He has been dominant, and he's also done, 7, 8 multi-inning appearances. So he might be that guy. We might be overthinking this just because it took a while for me to get used to the idea of Zach Littell as maybe that bulk innings bullpen guy. But he's been so good since coming up in the beginning of August and so effective. But he's also given the Giants quite a few innings in short bursts.
Yeah. And, you know, I really would be kind of curious. Are we like not looking at something that's obvious? Is there someone like in the minor leagues we haven't seen yet they could bring up as a secret weapon? And because when you go through their minor league system, they're leading their leagues in strikeouts on like 3 different levels. I think on the strikeout leaders in the minor leagues in the top 10, I think 3 are Giants. 3 may even be in the top 7. And you've got a guy like, I mean, okay, it's kind of ridiculous to think about this because, you know, Ryan Murphy is somebody who was a 5th-round pick out of Lemoyne College in New York, in last year's draft. And, you know, he's made 20 starts. He's with Eugene now in high A. He's thrown 103 innings. He's got 156 strikeouts and he's walked 20. I mean, I haven't seen him pitch at all, but I just wonder, is there anyone that they might just like Francisco Rodriguez their way into the big leagues and say, ha ha, you haven't seen this guy. Good luck. I kind of doubt it, but I wouldn't put it past them if they think there's someone that they could use as a magic bullet. Maybe there's someone out there.
You know that I'm in because we talked about this, I think maybe not last podcast, the podcast before, where I was totally in on the Hunter Strickland gambit in 2014 because you see a guy like that and the league doesn't quite know him and the data isn't there and you're not able to parse every last scrap of StatCast data. There's just a dude who's throwing and he's funky and he's quick and he's got the velocity and he's missing bats. And you could run into a team like the Dodgers that plans out every last scrap of data. And they look at a guy like this and go, they don't have a plan for him. So that part is appealing. It feels like the Giants are a very deliberate team in their moves, very calculated, very 7-dimensional backgammon. Like they're just trying to pull the different levers in the way that they're used to. It would really surprise me. At the same time, it would be cool as hell. So
yeah, sure. Hey, why not? you know, so what you're saying is that basically in 2026, when Ryan Murphy throws at Bryce Harper, we're going to understand that where it's stemming from, basically, if you're setting up the Hunter Strickland analogy here.
Hey, well, you know what? Hunter Strickland, the Giants are undefeated in the World Series when they have him on the roster. So, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Didn't Hunter Strickland, isn't he the guy who earned the save in the 18-inning game at Washington? We kind of keep forgetting about that. Like, Hunter Strickland needed to throw a zero for the Giants to win that game. It wasn't just Brandon Belt. It wasn't just Yusmeiro Petit, although a lot of it was Yusmeiro Petit. But hey, Hunter Strickland had to get three outs, and he did. So good for him.
I forgot about that. That is an excellent point. I mean, that's like such an iconic game. I mean, I think about Yusmeiro Petit, and that's like all where my brain stops, and Brandon Belt, and the grind of that game. And apparently, we lost quite a few riders to frostbite. But you are absolutely right. He pitched the bottom of the 18th. He struck out the first batter. He walked Anthony Rendon to get to Jason Worth, who lined out. And if I remember correctly, it was not a quiet line out. but hey, you know, he made it happen.
Good for him. Good for him. And yes, there were some very untimely deaths in the press box that day. Lowell Cohn, God rest his soul. He died like just like Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining. I think he's still a frosty statue somewhere in the back of that press box. Have I ever told you the story of how I survived that night?
I was just going to ask you if it was the coldest night you've ever experienced, but yeah, please tell me how you survived. Tauntaun?
Exactly. Oh, you think they smell bad on the outside? So that the press box there is at the top of the ballpark. It's really high, and yes. It's even higher for the broadcasters. So they have no judgment whatsoever on pop-ups. There's a drive. It might be, could be. It is caught by the third baseman. So the wind aloft really just whips into that press box, and it was a warm day that day, and so no one really had like anything more than just like a light jacket. But then it just dropped. The temperature dropped at night, and it was cold and windy. And they left all the windows open because the Nationals PR people were a bunch of dweebs back then. And actually, their PR guy, he like left in like the fourth inning and watched the whole rest of the game from downstairs in the clubhouse. So he was nice and toasty warm while we're all freezing, underdressed. And I literally could not feel my fingers to be able to type. I was like, you know, literally was having trouble typing. And they don't have food service for like they do for a normal regular season game. They usually bring in box lunches for the postseason. But back in the dining room area, they still had all of the equipment, including the machine that has the little hot dog roller things. You know, you put the hot dog on like at 7-Eleven. So yes. I looked at that thing and I thought to myself, what if I plug it in? And so I did. And it got toasty warm. And I held my digits right over that hot dog warmer. Wow. Between every single inning, from about inning 11 to the end of the game. I would run back, and at the half inning, I would hold my hands over that hot dog warmer. And Jeff Passan saw what I was doing, and he's like, that's brilliant. And so he did it too. And so, but by the time we got to like the 16th inning, there was like six writers all like holding their hands over the hot dog rollers just to keep them warm so that we could type our stories. So that is my, that's my story from, that's how I did not die. During that day in Washington.
That is excellent. Everyone, like, I just picture all these riders with their, you know, grubby little Vienna sausages on the end of their hands, just holding them over. So damn literal. It's so damn literal. Now, that is, I just hear about it, and I was toasty warm. Like, I was here. I think there was a cat on my lap for the 10th inning on. So that was tremendous for me and me personally. So I'm glad you survived, though. The coldest night I've ever experienced, I think, at a ballpark covering a game was the 2018 World Series in Boston. We were in the auxiliary box. I was down the line and I was not prepared. It was a cold East Coast day. And I left about 10 minutes before first pitch to run to an REI to get supplies, basically. Just get gloves, get hand warmers. I don't do cold well. Are you... Would you rather be extra hot or extra cold?
I would rather be extra cold because I can like layer up. And also, mm-hmm. I could bring in my flask of cinnamon wild turkey. So, you know, that helps. I don't like being too hot because I feel like you can't do a whole lot to fix it. But I don't mind being too cold.
Yeah, I just can't stand, like, when I'm in, and this has happened at Oracle Park, too, when I'm typing and, like, can't feel your fingers, like, that just bugs the crap out of me. Because, you know, you're typing on a keyboard and you need those darn fingers. Fingers are good. I like fingers.
Yes, fingers are helpful. I have all 10 of them, thankfully. I haven't lost any of them, so that's good.
Almost did on that one. Almost did because Yusmero Petit kept the game going. He was your enemy on that day. All right. This has been episode 162. We will be back next week for, I guess, next week is 163, so that's the tiebreaker. Our podcast will be the tiebreaker next week.
Yes. Who has home field advantage? I suppose we both do.
Yes, we both do. All right. We will be back, and we'll know what in the heck the Giants did against the Braves, and we will see you then. Thanks for listening.